Good evening and welcome to Stanley Heights Baptist Church. So glad you've joined us tonight. We are going to sing about that wonderful day when we all get to heaven. Would you stand with me and sing 542, when we all get to heaven, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, then He'll prepare for us a place when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory while we walk the pilgrim pathway. Clouds will overspread the sky, but when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a star. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all
everybody. Tonight's a wonderful night for us to recommit Michael and Barbara Henson and their children to this next term of missionary service, and looking forward to the time that we'll share together tonight. Let me do a couple of things. First, if you are a guest for the very first time, if you'll raise up your hand, and the ushers will give you a connection point booklet. Thank you so much. And it'll tell you about us. It's yours to keep. It'll be a guide for our time together. You'll notice that there is with it a guest card. And if you give us a street address and an email or an email address, we'll send you a thank you note thanking you for being our guest here at Stanley Heights. You can put that card either in an offering box to your right or behind you when you leave, or you can hand it to one of our ushers on your way out as well. Then, just going to make note, just a few announcements. Of course, Pastor Alexander does those in the morning, but I do want to make note particularly that this week on Wednesday, we will have a number of things happening. There's Vacation Bible School training for our team of people that's involved in serving in a Vacation Bible School. We will have an opportunity for community outreach on Wednesday as well. And we're going to do Kids Ask Pastor Night. We usually do this one time of the year in the summer. and the kids can ask me any question they want to ask me. So, kids, I'm expecting some great questions from you on Wednesday. And bring your question. You can ask about life. You can ask personal questions. You can ask Bible questions. You can ask any question you want. And I won't guarantee anything except I'll do the very best I can. Sound all right? Okay, so that's on Wednesday. And then Thursday afternoon and evening as well, some more outreach in our community. Looking forward to Vacation Bible School next Sunday. Of course, we'll do that in the evening this Sunday as well as the following Sunday. You see the schedule in your bulletin there. All right, so I want you to know about that. And I think that will be fine. Let's say together the scripture we're learning this month. We're learning that we find refuge in our God by faith. Let's say together Deuteronomy 33:27. Lifting our voices together. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting. Isn't it interesting? A refuge is not a place. A refuge is a person. Our great God. We do so by faith. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for His help. And then after that, you can be seated. So, Lord, on this night, it's wonderful for us to find the great joy of sharing in Your great commission. And we share with so many missionary partners in many places, but there are only a handful that are from our own body. And tonight we are rejoicing that we get to partner in such a wonderful way with the Hinson family. So we pray, Lord, for all that is done tonight, that you would enable us to receive from the testimony shared, the presentation, the challenge from the word. And then when we together enjoy this commitment time, the fellowship and all, we pray you would have your hand upon it after the service tonight. There will be as well the community outreach with the basketball and the guys that come from our city. And we pray that your truth would penetrate their hearts as well. So with this night, we commit it to you and we ask you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
We'll sing next of the cross, of its significance to us. To some, the cross is a stumbling block. To some, they turn away and say, what is this? But to us, those who know what Christ has done for us, the price that has been paid, we can cherish. We can think of it as precious, as wonderful to us. We'll sing 186, The Old Rugged Cross.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. The emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophy. I will ever be true. It's
is our message. That is the message of the gospel. And tonight, as we recommission, resend out the Hinson family to bring that same message, what a wonderful reminder that through the potential dangers, through the hardships, we can look to the one who leads each one of us to be able to say, He leadeth me. What words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whatever we do, wherever we may be, it's God's, the same hand of God that leads each one of us. Would you stand with me tonight? We'll sing number 461, He leadeth me.
He leadeth me, O blessed God, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I go, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful power I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Lord, I would bless Thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine. Content whatever wrought I see, since 'tis Thy hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful power I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by Thy grace the victory's won, e'en death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful power I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me.
Thank you. Please be seated.
Again, this evening, we're focusing on our missionaries who are highlighted in our bulletin today, Sam and Sharon Dianan and their children. In the middle of a transition, the Lord's leading them out of India to the country of Fiji. And they've been back in the U.S. for a couple weeks now, I guess. And over the next few months, they're going to be raising additional support to go to Fiji in the near future. And just asking us to pray that the Lord would open the right doors of ministry there in that country, and that they will raise the needed support to go where God has called them there, to the country of Fiji. So let's be in prayer for these needs for the Dianans tonight. Also, Graham and Renee Foran, missionaries we partner with in the country of Brazil. Asking prayer, if you read their prayer letter, they, over the last, and this was all centered around the coronation of King Charles over in England, but they began an outreach called Crown Him King, and just emphasizing Jesus as the one true King. And they've had many visitors. I think over 35 visitors is what he said that have come as a result of this outreach. And they've been faithfully coming over and over each Sunday since all this began. So they're just, Lord's really sent people to their doorstep there at the church in Brazil, and just asking prayer for the salvation of these folks as they continue to share Christ with these individuals. So just continue to be in prayer for the salvation of these visitors that have been coming. Also, they're in need of a sound system. They were defrauded out of money that had been set aside for this thing, and just weren't done very right by the company that they were pursuing this sound system from. So just asking prayer for that, and then just final city approval for the church building that they're constructing there. And also two of their single moms are really facing some major challenges, and they're working with these ladies. So just asking prayer for these things, and we'll pray for these requests on behalf of the Florins tonight and pray for our offerings. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you for what you're doing all over the world, and what a joy it is to partner with these ones that you've sent out. And Lord, we just ask prayer for Sam and Sharon and their family. Lord, you seem to be moving them to another field in the country of Fiji, and they're back in the States raising additional support for that. And Lord, we just pray for new churches to take them on, Lord, as you've led them to this step, and they're trusting you to provide. So Lord, we just pray on their behalf that you would raise this additional support that they need to go. And Brother Sam's asking just for the right doors of ministry to open for them as they go there to Fiji in the near future, Lord. And we just ask prayer for the Diana family tonight. Lord, thank you for this outreach that the church there in Brazil has been able to conduct over the last few weeks, and in the ministry of the Florins, Lord. And you really are honoring their efforts in drawing the people that have been invited to come, and they're faithfully coming and coming back each and every Sunday, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. We pray for the salvation of these folks as they continue to witness and share Christ with these individuals, Lord. We just pray that they come to a saving knowledge of you, Lord. These needs of a sound system and city approval for their building project, Lord, we just ask that you have your hand in all these things, and also for these two single ladies that are facing some major challenges, Lord. We pray for the Florins as they counsel and help these ladies, Lord. I pray. Bless our offerings tonight, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity that you give to us to be able to share what you blessed us with so that others can hear the gospel. And I pray that you'd honor our offerings tonight. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
much. Well, tonight we are going to recommit the Henson family to the field of Georgia. They have shared with us, of course, in our missions conference and shared with us their presentation. But I wanted you to see it one more time before they left, and then we'll hear some testimonies. Brother Michael, is there anything you would like to say about this before we show it? No? Okay. You can say anything you want to say afterward. So we're going to show their presentation of the ministry in Georgia and their first term, and then we'll hear testimonies from the Hensons, and we'll share the word together and make this recommitment. All right.
Georgia, a small Eurasian country nestled between Russia and Turkey. You will find a collision of ancient and contemporary, traditionalism and westernization, religion and superstition. It is home to nearly 4 million people, most of which adhere to Georgian Orthodox beliefs. As we have made friends and started spiritual conversations, we have learned that we must define terms. What does it mean to be a Christian? Does being religious, living a moral life, and baptism give one access to heaven? Gamar Joba, we are the Henson family, your church planting missionaries to the country of Georgia, Europe. We are sent out of Stanley Heights Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and serving through Baptist International Missions Incorporated. We have lived in the country of Georgia for 5 years, studying the language, people, culture, and Georgian thinking. We have served in a local body of believers already in existence in the city, learning how to minister in this context, and preaching and teaching. They have given us encouragement and an outlet to practice speaking Georgian. I was able to start preaching without a translator in 2020 and have been preparing sermons to preach almost every week. Barbara, too, has been ministering in music and children's ministries and writing Sunday school lessons, songs, and hymns in the native tongue.
We have moved into a residential district of Tbilisi, Georgia's capital city, and have enjoyed getting to meet our neighbors. We have spent many hours around the table with friends and acquaintances. Georgians are known for their hospitality, and meetings always include food of some sort, tea and cookies at the very least. Through this avenue, we have befriended a Muslim family, fellowshipped with several Bible study churches, and witnessed to acquaintances.
One man started out as our handyman, but has become a good friend. We have met his wife and children and have had the honor of spending holidays with them. Though his wife is a devout Muslim, he believes that we worship the same God as he does. We are looking forward to spending more time with his family and conversing more fully about the one true God.
Michael has been able to share the gospel with several neighbors, as well as the construction workers who have helped us with our house. Two of them have professed faith in Christ. Michael hopes to do deeper studies with them upon our return.
One young man has professed Christ and has come for meals, but unfortunately seems non-committal about Bible studies and his Christian walk in general.
We have conversed several times with the lady who sweeps our street and have given her a Bible. She expresses interest in Bible studies someday, but always has excuses to start now.
Last year, we held a week-long English Bible club. Several neighborhood children attended, and one requested a Bible. Many children and parents have asked for another summer club, so upon our return, we intend to continue this ministry.
I met a foreign university student, and because of the common language of English, we became friends and began studying the Bible together. The young lady received Christ, and I was able to disciple and train her before she returned to her country to serve in her church.
Jude, having received Christ last year, is already adding to the ministry. He has told us of several conversations with his school teacher, who has a basic Georgian Orthodox knowledge of the Bible, but wants to know more. She is surprised a child is so knowledgeable about his faith and can have a personal relationship with God. In the near future, by God's grace, we plan to return to our city of over 1 million people and rent a building in an easily accessible location where we will begin Bible studies, children's English and Bible programs, and other beginning church planting outreach ministries. We will hold feasts and open our homes, seeking to reach more Georgians with the gospel. Georgians understand that Jesus is the Son of God and that He died for sinners, but have not been taught that they are sinners in need of His salvation. They are unaware that Christ desires a personal, intimate relationship with them. We hope to explain more fully the differences in what we believe, chiefly what it means to be a born-again believer, for it is only by faith in the atonement of Christ's death for our sin that one can obtain salvation, peace with God, and eternal life.
Well, thank you. That gives us an idea of what happened before. And now, Michael and Barbara, I'm going to have you all come. And they're going to share just words of testimony. And I know it'll be an encouragement and a help to us all. So go ahead.
Well, I would say I have learned so much this year. Furlough is really different from deputation because it's already people and churches that we knew. But I will say it was still a lot the same in that you moved around and you basically lived out of your car. And I learned so much. I could really tell the prayers of God's people. I learned a lot about myself as a follower of Christ. I learned about myself as a wife and as a mother and as a person in ministry and how I responded to different stresses. But I will say one thing that I consistently came up. It was I going to submit my will to God's will? Sometimes that looked like submitting to my husband, you know, but was I going to say, okay, God, you take it and I don't have a plan B? And that was very hard for me. I learned that I like to be in control. I like to have all my ducks in a row. And you know, I don't. I'm doing good if I have them all on the lake. I mean, I just didn't always have it together moving around, but God was showing me something, and so I'll share it with you. There's a verse where the disciples are going through the fields, and they're plucking corn on the Sabbath because they have to eat, right? You know, those of us in ministry, our work day is Sunday. That's just the way it is. So, you know, sometimes you feel like, you know, do I get to rest? What's God's plan in all this? And he said something, the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. So though I was working, I had to remember who's in charge here. Am I making sure that everything I do, everything I say, every attitude I have, does the Lord have control over me? Yes, on every other day of the week, but also on the Sabbath day. He's the Lord. He's in control. He knows what I'm doing. He's called me to do this. And I have to allow him to be Lord, even on the Sabbath.
Good evening. It's good to be back with the church here. And to close out our time in the States with you all, we'll be leaving on Thursday by God's grace. And I'm grateful for that. It'll be good to go back. We'll fly to Atlanta and on to Doha and then to Tbilisi on the other side of the world. But I would like to say that our time in the States has been good. Many, you know, enjoyable things come from it. You know, our children, they already know what's like high priority. Through their little intelligence gathering, they discovered that you're going to have cupcakes tonight. And so, you know, there's a lot of, you know, fun things about being in the States. But I will say personally, One of the greater joys that I get to have is to go meet you, and I've been here several times, but other churches that I haven't seen. For example, the last church I was at, we hadn't seen them for 7 years. I go, and there's some ladies that automatically come up, and they're like, "Oh, we read your prayer letters, and we're praying for you." And I would like to say that people remember, and of course do pray for it. That is so very encouraging. So thank you for everyone that has done that. And I will also close with a thought just from Matthew 28. You know, this is like the textbook preaching passage for missions conferences and missions meeting. But you probably know it. But I will just pull out two ideas from here. This is Matthew 28, starts in verse 18. You're welcome to look at it. It says, "Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." In my time in Georgia, this became something that, you know, I have no idea how many messages I heard preached on it, but it definitely became something that I needed to think about, to chew on. The truth of Scripture is there, and obviously the main truth you could say from those verses is that we have a knowledge of the ways of God and the Word of God that must be communicated. And sadly, in American culture and American Christianity, it's been seen as something that we can opt into or opt out of. And that was never God's purpose and plan for us. But beyond the main idea of this passage, I testified at the men's meeting, at the missions conference, I believe it was the men's meeting, about Jesus' promise that I am with you always. And that is the first thing. I'll just reaffirm this. In our experience this last year, all our time in Georgia, some fun things, many difficult things, many enjoyable things. But God was always present, and God is greater than those circumstances. He's greater than those people that we're in contact with. But as a new word, is another thing that I have thought on, and it's Jesus' actually first word. He says, "All power is given unto me." And that's the utter reassurance that is given in this verse. Think about just the simplicity of the word "all." That's on earth. That's in heaven, perhaps more immediately to myself and for you all. That is the people that we're in contact with. That is the situations that we find ourselves in. Situations where it seems impossible, directly in this verse, that the gospel will work and change people's lives. But Jesus' guarantee here is that all power was given unto him. And that he has power when the people seem indifferent. He has power when unbelief abounds. He has power when it just seems beyond our strength to do anything. And I would just like to say, the Lord, I thought of this, and we go back to Georgia. I think about the people who are there. I tried to emphasize at least the need for praying for the Georgian people. And just to cast our confidence on the Lord and what he can do. The promise is there, and I appreciate perhaps by the plan of the Lord, perhaps by the kindness of the Lord directed to our family, we got to come back and hear the Joshua message this morning. Just say, let our confidence be in the Lord and what he will do. Let us seek after that. And by default, of course, that means that we need to be yielded to his hand and submissive to where he wants to take us, perhaps change us in ways we don't want to be changed, to work with people we don't want to even work with. But the Lord is greater than all those things. He's greater than their emotions. He's greater than me. And there is all sufficient power for in my life and by God's grace through our lives. So thank you very much for everything you have done for us. Continue to do for us in prayer and in giving and keeping up with us.
I feel like I've been to church already. I was so grateful. Those words of testimony have really encouraged me. Thank you so much. Of course, Michael and Barbara have their visa, and that's been a challenge, hasn't it? You have it. Okay. Oh, man. Okay. So they've got a lot of and, you know, the last time you think about when you all went, and that was a new adventure, wasn't it? Learning a brand new language, and the Georgian language, as you all that are familiar with them, You know, it is not an easy language to learn. It's a very difficult language. And to me, it's daunting. And they've explained how it works. And it's overwhelming to me. And they went and then, boy, just the things that they experienced in their first term. And now they're starting the work that God has given, their own work. And that is an exciting time. And really pioneers. And if you know Michael, he's always had a heart, I think the heart of the pioneer. And so I'm really excited about what God is going to do in their lives in this term. Particularly, I think it's just going to be, it'll be different, but it'll be good. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to invite you to take your Bible and go with me to the book of Acts, chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. The Apostle Paul was on his way back to Jerusalem. He had been out in a term of missionary service. He wanted to get back. He wanted to be back to Jerusalem. It would be late in the spring for the Feast of Pentecost. And that was his desire, but along the way he had one stop particularly that he wanted to make. He wanted to see his dear friends at Ephesus, those men that were leaders, elders, the Bible calls them, a synonym for pastors. These men that were so important to him in his life, and he wanted to see them, and so he changed his path a little bit and he comes to a seacoast town called Miletus. Ephesus wasn't far from Miletus, and he sends for these men to come and meet him, and they meet him, and he sees them for the very last time. Not that this will be the last time we'll see you, I don't expect that's the case, but he sees them for the last time, and he has some wonderful words to share with them, words that encourage them in their ministry. And oh, how well they knew him and how well they knew his ministry. He had been in Ephesus for longer than any other single place where he had ministered. The church at Ephesus was the founding pastor, the church planting pastor there. And so he, in this passage of Scripture, has a wonderful challenge about ministry. And I have found the words of this chapter to be so helpful. I won't address all of these tonight. In fact, I was looking back on just a little bit of history. And interestingly, whenever you all were sent to Georgia for the first time, I preached out of this passage. Not the same one, another paragraph of Paul's message on the ministry. But tonight I want to go to another portion of this scripture. And I want to talk about, just for these few minutes, the work of the ministry as the Apostle Paul talks to his fellow brothers in the work of the ministry. I'll begin reading in Acts chapter 20. I'll start reading in verse 18, and we will read through verse 21. When the Bible tells us this, the Apostle Paul says, now, I'll start reading in verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said to them, ye know from the first day that I came unto you, came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept nothing back that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, from this portion of Scripture, I want you to notice first the man in the ministry. Paul really begins by telling of his own story, that when they came to him, he said, now, ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. ministry, when you think about ministry, sometimes you think about the public side of ministry, and there's the preaching side of the ministry, and there are the things that you see. But really, can I tell you what ministry ultimately is about? Is not just about the public things you see. Ministry is about the man. It's about the person that the man is. Skills and gifts are wonderful. Aren't you grateful for skills and gifts? All of which God gives for His sovereign purposes. But if all you have is skills and gifts, you've missed it. Really, what is necessary is the person you are. So the Apostle Paul's testimony is, you know, from the very first day I came into Asia, you've been with me, you've seen me. In the ups and the downs, you see me in the nitty-gritty, day by day, you've seen me, and you know the person that I have been. With all my failings and shortcomings and all the challenges, you know the person that I have been. His character, sterling, at all seasons, all times, consistently, in his personhood, in his position. Now, this relationship with these individuals at Ephesus was, as I mentioned, it was the longest time he had been in any place in all of his ministry. And they knew him better than anybody else. Of all the places he had been and all the people he had known, no church knew Paul better than the church at Ephesus. And nobody knew him better than these pastors, these elders in the city of Ephesus. And yet he lays before them and he says, men, you know. You know what we call that around here? This is not unusual, at least in any way, to Michael. And I hope it's not unusual and out of the ordinary for any of us. But for all of us to remember, here the expression we use, we call it personhood. Personhood. The person you're becoming. It's more important than anything else. So, the Apostle Paul begins his talk with these dear friends with discussing the man of the ministry. And then he talks to them about the manner of the ministry. We read about this in verse 19 when the Bible tells us, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in the wait of the Jews. And he begins with his attitude. I think it was Viktor Frankl, who was a Nazi death camp survivor, who said the last great human freedom is the freedom to choose your attitude. Do you know nobody chooses your attitude for you? How many of you know someone with a rotten attitude? You know someone with a rotten attitude? Yeah, you do? Who do you think gave that person a rotten attitude? Well, they gave it to themselves. You choose your attitude. And when Paul described his own attitude in ministry, do you see the word that he chose to describe his attitude? Serving the Lord with all humility of mind. The spirit of humility. God gives grace to the humble. And the only way that the grace of God flows in a person's life is humility. I'm asked Barbara and Michael about their attitude. I'm going to ask you about your attitude. Humble? So he carries out his ministry with a spirit of humility. But he knows as well the sincerity of heartbreak when he describes that in his service with the Lord or for the Lord, there were many tears. And I think all of us as members of the body of Christ, I guess as members of the human race, our heart goes out to people in difficulty. But as we share our lives with people within a local assembly in the body of Christ, sometimes you have tears with people and you they are in pain and your heart breaks for them in pain because you know the pain they're experiencing. And he knew what it was to weep with the people. He knew what it was to have tears for the people and their progress sometimes. And sometimes what God is doing in people's lives, he's taking them from this place to this place, and he's taking them through a very difficult time and through a valley. And sometimes your heart breaks with them as they go through even things that are necessary for them to progress in their lives. And you know that on the other side, there is such blessing. And in the midst of it, they have the opportunity of experiencing God's grace in ways they would not have experienced if they weren't going through that. But yet your heart goes out to them because you know the pain that they're experiencing along the way. And sometimes your heart breaks for people because of the missed opportunity. I was witnessing this week to a person I met in our community. And just began a conversation and sharing Christ with this individual. And I said toward the end of the conversation, it's an individual who God was so clearly working in their lives, so clearly brought our paths together. And there, we had some real things that we hit off in common, and we were having this discussion. And I said, do you think that God may have just happened to bring us and our paths to cross together today? Because God wants to do something wonderful in your life and powerful in your life. Do you think? And to me, I left, and I don't know where that's going to go, but I left that visit and I left that conversation. And honestly, my heart just went out to the individual to whom I was sharing Christ, because here's an individual that God has provided an opportunity. It would be so sad for that person if they missed the opportunity. And sometimes it's that way, isn't it? God brings people into your life and there's an opportunity for them. If they would seek the Lord, if they would turn from their way and come to the Lord, and if they would give the Lord their life, what could happen in the blessing that could come into their life? And it breaks your heart because of the missed opportunity. No wonder the Apostle Paul shared his own heartbreak and the tears that he shed. And I think all of us who walk with God and we serve God, we understand what it is, because you are people that bear burdens with other people. And you are people that carry the burdens of other people with them. And you know. And he describes the struggles that he has in his heartache. There are temptations, we read in verse 19, and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. It would be an interesting study sometime to walk through the book of Acts and how these group of Jewish people who made their commitment to seek to derail Paul's work. Very interesting study. In fact, let's walk through the pages of the book of Acts tonight, all the way through. Wouldn't that be exciting? Maybe not. But all the way along for Paul, there were, even when he was working with seeking to reach Gentiles, there were these Jewish people that would just dog him and go to place to place to place. And when they didn't go to that place, they would send word to the Jews of that place, and stirring up controversy and stirring up strife and creating all kinds of havoc for the Apostle Paul as he seeks to share Christ with people. And oh, how he knew what it was to struggle. And I think all of us understand what it is to struggle at times. But yet, in all of it, still, here's his testimony. There was pain. My tears were brought to me. There was struggle with enemies around me, but still serving the Lord. You know, that's a wonderful story to tell, isn't it? My heart breaks with people. Have some struggles. But still serving the Lord. That's the story that God wants to write for all of us. It's a story that the Hinsons want to write. Serving the Lord. Well, then the Apostle Paul describes his motive for ministry. I'll notice verse 20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. His motive for ministry was not for his own benefit, but what was good for you. And he was willing to tell people the truth because it was good for them. Sometimes, in the Lord's work, if you're not careful, it becomes what's good for the preacher. But for a faithful preacher, it's not about what's good for the preacher. It's about what's good for the people. And what helps the people to stand complete in Christ. And what helps them to be the light for Christ in each of the places where God sends them in the day-to-day activities of their life. And what's good for you. And so you do what is needed. When sometimes, honestly, you just don't want to do what is needed. You do what's right. When a lot of times it feels like it's just as easy not to do what is right. But you do what is right. And so God will help you, Michael and Barbara, as you reach out to those Georgian people. And you go through some of the struggles, even some of the people that you shared in your presentation, you're seeking to win to Christ. Your heart breaks for them. You spent meals with them. That's one of the wonderful things, I think, about Georgia, where they like to eat together. I'm not sure if cupcakes would be a feast to them. But you already know, and you have that burden that you're carrying with them and for them. And along the way, God will help you to do what is best for them as you honor Him. And then we're told of the method of the ministry that He has. Verse 20 again. I've taught you publicly and from house to house the teaching of the Word brings light, brings health. The teaching of the Word is like a hammer that brings conviction. And there's your public ministry, there's your private ministry, personal ministry of ministering with people. So whether it's publicly or whether it is house to house, you're ministering to people. And all of it, your message, verse 21, is this: testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the message of the gospel. And the message of the gospel is also the message of growth. As you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, Colossians 2, 6 and 7, so walk ye in Him, being rooted, grounded, established in the faith. So you'll share the message of how people can be saved. And those that respond and are saved, then what will happen is you'll share with them how to grow. And the grace of God that saves is the grace of God that changes. You'll experience it together. Can I tell you something wonderful that happened to me 9 days ago? Excuse me. Yeah, 9 days ago. Something wonderful. 10:30 at night on Saturday night, I'm in the bed. 10:30 at night, I get a text. Do you know who it was? It's Don Duncan. No, I'm teasing. It wasn't Don Duncan. No, it wasn't. I get a text from Pastor Malloy, my pastor. And I was surprised. I mean, it's not like him to send a text at 10:30. But, see, he's Central Time, so 9:30 didn't bother him at all. It didn't bother me, really, honestly. It didn't bother me. It was just such a surprise. And he sends me a picture of a guy. His name is Brandon King. Now, let me tell you about Brandon King. I hadn't seen Brandon King in a long time. It was a long time. Brandon King lived in our part of our city down in Pensacola, where we lived for 12 years and served for 12 years. And Brandon King was, they had at the church there, they had a memorial service. Brandon King came to this memorial service. And after the memorial service, they had some kind of a meal. And Pastor Malloy took a picture of this guy and sent it to me. And I know where it was because I know where that fellowship hall is. And that's a building that we were involved in building when we were there. And so I knew just, I could tell you exactly where it was in the room. I knew the background behind it. And Pastor Malloy sent me this text. Had this picture of this guy, Brandon King. He said, I want to let you know that Brandon came to this memorial service. He recently got saved. Now, here's the thing. It was a long time ago. We've been here 23 years. So it's been a long time that Brandon King was a kid that lived in our neighborhood. As soon as I saw his picture, I remembered him right away. But in all the time that we were there and seeking to reach him for Christ, he never came to Christ in all those years. Life goes on, he grows up, we go on, all of our lives go different ways. Now, over two decades later, I get this text on Saturday night. Brandon King recently got saved. He asked about you, appreciated so much the influence you had on his life. And I thought to myself, here's somebody that I haven't thought about and I don't even know when. But it reminds us, I think, for all of us that you never know how God is working. You never know when God is working. In whom God is working. Sometimes we get to enjoy the blessing, don't we, of the fruit of our labors. And how many of you like it? You enjoy fruit? You enjoy fruit? You enjoy it? Isn't it great? Sometimes we don't enjoy the fruit of our labors. But we labor. Because it's not our work. We are in God's work. And we labor for the Lord. And as the Hinsons go, they're going to enjoy a labor for the Lord. Be interesting how it all turns out. It'll really be interesting. We'll look forward to reading the letters, hearing about the updates, to see what God is doing. So the Hinsons are laboring. But wait a minute. It's not just the Hinsons. It's the Lord's labor, and they're part of what He is doing through them. And not just them, we're laboring with them. And while they're laboring there, and we're laboring with them, so that we are partners in the ministry from this side of the world with them, we're also laboring here. All of us in something that is so big, so much bigger than ourselves. We are laboring together for the Lord. I can't think of anything better than laboring for the Lord. So we're going to recommit the Hinsons tonight to this next field of, or this next term of service. Let me ask you this, Brother Michael. As you go forward, to the best of your knowledge, I'm going to read to you the qualifications of a pastor, a bishop, an elder. All those terms are used synonymously in the New Testament. And I'm going to ask if, to the best of your knowledge, before the Lord and our congregation, are you qualified for this role? This is the true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless. The husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, and having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them that are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So, Brother Michael, to the best of your understanding, are you scripturally qualified to serve in this role? And if you could see his face, it is vintage Michael Henson. Humble and almost reticent, but it is true. And I think all of us, you know, really, if you read that list, how many of you just reading it of itself, it's intimidating. It really is. And you all believe that God, the Spirit, is called you and leading you to this next term in Georgia. And church, as you know, Michael and Barbara, and you've heard their testimony and you've seen their lives over these years, if you believe as well with them that God the Holy Spirit is sending them and that we are partnering with them to go to Georgia in this term, would you signify by saying amen?
Amen.
Amen. And if you're with them, it's evident that this is God's direction. I'm so thrilled for them. Well, kids, we got two boys here. We have a baby in the nursery. Where'd Zachary go? Oh, there he is. Okay, lost him over there. I wondered about that. You all ready to go? You ready to get on the airplane? Take the big trip? Very good. Ready to get back to Tbilisi? That's wonderful. I'm going to do this. I'm going to have Pastor Alexander come, and I want him to pray, and then I'm going to pray as we all lift our voices together in prayer fellowship around the Henson family. So I'm going to ask, in fact, let's do it down here, Pastor Ed. I'm going to ask you all, church, would you stand? And we're going to, Pastor, I'm going to have you gather on this side. And Michael and Barbara, we're not going to move anything. You can go ahead and stand with us if you will. And we're going to pray the hand of the Lord upon these folks. And Pastor Alexander will pray, and then I'll pray. And then we will send you into the fellowship hall for refreshments tonight. All right? Oh, I almost forgot. We have for you, I'm going to give this to you now. If I don't do it now, I'll forget. We have just a little love gift for you to help you as you travel and help take care of any expenses you might face on the way back. All right? So, Pastor Alexander, would you pray and then I'll pray and then we'll dismiss all of us.
Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight and we are thankful that your Holy Spirit is the one that draws us first of all in salvation, but then calls out from amongst the body and separates those for specific tasks at specific times. Lord, we thank you for your calling on Michael and Barbara and their family. Lord, the way it's evident that you have been and are at work in them, in their lives. Lord, we thank you for separating themselves to this call to the gospel. Lord, to carry out your work in the country of Georgia and specifically in the city of Tbilisi. Lord, we thank you for their faithfulness in this first term, for the things that they have endured, for the pressures they've had to undergo, Lord, the task of learning the language, of making friends, of understanding the culture. Lord, of being a light in a very dark place, in a place that is often confused about your truth. We thank you that we've had the privilege of sending them out, of supporting them, Lord, financially in prayer, Lord, holding them up before your throne. Lord, we thank you that you who have begun a good work in them will continue it until the day of Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you will never leave them nor forsake them. Lord, that underneath them are the everlasting arms. Lord, we thank you that you will be faithful, you who have called them. Lord, we thank you that they are in your hands and they are in your care. Lord, your eye is on them. Lord, you know their needs, and you've promised to meet, to supply all their needs. And as we've been reminded tonight, that all power is given unto Jesus, and he's the one that sends them out. Lord, we pray that you would go before them, prepare them even as they go back, or prepare hearts of people they already know, of people they don't know, people you'll bring across their path. We pray as they attempt this church plant. Lord, it's a big undertaking, just a mammoth undertaking that they have not done yet. Lord, we know that you will go before preparing people, preparing places, the facility where they'll need to meet, Lord, all the relationships. We know that you will prepare hearts, that there will be some out of every kindred, tongue, and tribe and nation that will respond to the gospel. And so we pray for those even right now that are sitting in darkness, that they would see the great light. Lord, we pray that you would use this family, encourage them, strengthen them, grow them, and pray for their children as they come to understand and know Christ. Lord, that you would use them as a wonderful help in the ministry. Lord, watch over them. Keep them safe. Keep them from harm. Keep them from sin. Lord, keep them close to you. Lord, we support them, not only financially, Lord, but our backing is with them as we call out to you, Lord, that you would use them in a wonderful way, and that one day we would gather around the throne and we would rejoice with those who've known and trusted Christ because of the great things that you have done. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
And so, our God, we pray that you would keep Michael and Barbara in that love relationship with you. We pray for Jude and Paul and Zachary and Evelina. You give grace to them. We ask, O God, for the awareness of your presence to be with them along the way. And I ask that as they go, that you would mightily show yourself to them, that others would know you through them, and will rejoice with you and with them. And so we expect, God, for your hand of blessing. And we commend them now to your grace, to your care. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now, here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to have refreshments for all of us to enjoy as we honor Michael and Barbara and their children. And so make sure that in a moment that we'll sing, as we go from here, the instrumentalists will play. And you'll want to make your way to the fellowship hall. And let's see, someone can, in the nursery, can someone make sure you bring Evelina so these guys don't have to do that. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And so I know one of you all will take that initiative and make that happen. That would be fantastic. So let's do this. Pastor Fred, let's go ahead and sing Declare His Glory. And our instrumentalists will make your way up there. You know what? No, let's not. Don't worry about it. We're not going to make it. Oh, you're up there. Don's up there. Good. Let's sing Declare His Glory. We're going to send Michael and Barbara over to the fellowship hall. And then make your way over there and make sure you say goodbye to them. All right?
Declare His glory among the nations. Through all creation His triumph sing. Till all earth's peoples bow in adoration, and Jesus Christ, the everlasting King.
Thank you for joining us. Jesus said to those who believed on Him in John chapter 8, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We join our God in desiring that you will know the liberating power of the truth of God's word as you apply it to your life. We would love to hear from you and find out what God is doing in your life. You can go to our website, stanleyheights.org. There you can contact us with your prayer requests. You can ask a question. You can find a free resource to study the Bible as a guide in your journey. You can get other sermons and other free resources that are available for you. While we're talking, may I ask you this question? Have you made the most important decision of your life to turn to Jesus Christ and receive Him by faith to be your personal Savior? Oh, if you haven't, would you do so right now? And if you would like some more guidance in that decision, you can go to our website, stanleyheights.org/eternity, and you'll find some help that will guide you in that decision. Again,
Thank you for joining us. I look forward to hearing from you soon.